thank the Lord, oh thank the Lord for all his love.
I'd like to warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We are delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Let's now sing hymn 448.
Lo, they that follow after good, by them God's word is understood. So they prove him, praise and prove him, through them he doth perform his will, to them his promises fulfill. For they love him, Lord, and love him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is the allness of good. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. From the Bible, Psalm. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he will teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. And from Acts. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, Lord, I am here. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it were, scales, and he received his sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. After that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, and believing not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto him how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him, which, when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Psalm. O love the Lord, all ye his saints. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. He that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. And from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Good. God, Spirit, Omnipotence, Omniscience, Omnipresence, Omniaction. In the Saxon and 20 other tongues, good is the term for God. The Scriptures declare all that he made to be good, like himself, good in principle and in idea. Therefore, the spiritual universe is good and reflects God as he is. Man in the likeness of God, as revealed in science, cannot help being immortal. Though the grass seemeth to wither and the flower to fade, they reappear. Erase the figures which express number, silence the tones of music, give to the worms the body called man, and yet the producing, governing, divine principle lives on, in the case of man as truly as in the case of numbers and of music, despite the so-called laws of matter, which define man as mortal. Though the inharmony resulting from material sense hides the harmony of science, inharmony cannot destroy the divine principle of science. In science, man's immortality depends upon that of God, good, and follows as a necessary consequence of the immortality of good. Nothing is real and eternal. Nothing is spirit but God and his idea. Evil has no reality. It is neither person, place, nor thing, but is simply a belief, an illusion of material sense. Saul of Tarsus beheld the way, the Christ or truth, only when his uncertain sense of right yielded to a spiritual sense, which is always right. Then the man was changed. Thought assumed a nobler outlook, and his life became more spiritual. He learned the wrong that he had done in persecuting Christians whose religion he had not understood, and in humility he took the new name of Paul. He beheld for the first time the true idea of love and learned a lesson in divine science. Reform comes by understanding that there is no abiding pleasure in evil, and also by gaining an affection for good according to science, which reveals the immortal fact that neither pleasure nor pain, appetite nor passion can exist in or of matter, while divine mind can and does destroy the false beliefs of pleasure, pain, or fear, and all the sinful appetites of the human mind. What a pitiful sight is malice, finding pleasure in revenge. Evil is sometimes man's highest conception of right until his grasp on good grows stronger. Then he loses pleasure in wickedness, and it becomes his torment. The way to escape the misery of sin is to cease sinning. There is no other way. Sin is the image of the beast, to be effaced by the sweat of agony. It is a moral madness which rushes forth to clamor with midnight and tempest. To the physical senses, the strict demands of Christian science seem peremptory. But mortals are hastening to learn that life is God, good, and that evil has in reality neither place nor power in the human or divine economy. Question: what is mind? Answer: mind is God. The exterminator of error is the great truth that God, good, is the only mind, and that the supposititious opposite of infinite mind, called devil or evil, is not mind, is not truth, but error, without intelligence or reality. There can be but one mind, because there is but one God. And if mortals claimed no other mind and accepted no other, sin would be unknown. We can have but one mind, if that one is infinite. We bury the sense of infinitude when we admit that although God is infinite, evil has a place in this infinity, for evil can have no place where all space is filled with God. We lose the high signification of omnipotence when, after admitting that God or good is omnipresent and has all power, we still believe there is another power named evil. This belief that there is more than one mind is as pernicious to divine theology as our ancient mythology and pagan idolatry. With one Father, even God, the whole family of man would be brethren. And with one mind and that God or good, the brotherhood of man would consist of love and truth and have unity of principle and spiritual power which constitute divine science. The supposed existence of more than one mind was the basic error of idolatry. His error assumed the loss of spiritual power, the loss of the spiritual presence of life as infinite truth without an unlikeness, the loss of love as ever-present and universal. Divine Science explains the abstract statement that there is one mind by the following self-evident proposition. If God or good is real, then evil, the unlikeness of God, is unreal. And evil can only seem to be real by giving reality to the unreal. The children of God have but one mind. How can good lapse into evil when God, the mind of man, never sins? The standard of perfection was originally God and man. Has God taken down his own standard, and has man fallen? God is the creator of man, and the divine principle of man remaining perfect, the divine idea or reflection man remains perfect. Man is the expression of God's being. If there ever was a moment when man did not express the divine perfection, then there was a moment when man did not express God, and consequently a time when deity was unexpressed, that is, without entity. If man has lost perfection, then he has lost his perfect principle, the divine mind. If man ever existed without this perfect principle or mind, then man's existence was a myth. The relations of God and man, divine principle and idea, are indestructible in science, and science knows no lapse from nor return to harmony, but holds the divine order or spiritual law, in which God and all that he creates are perfect and eternal, to have remained unchanged in its eternal history. The unlikeness of truth, named error, the opposite of science, and the evidence before the five corporeal senses afford no indication of the grand facts of being, even as these so-called senses receive no intimation of the earth's motions or of the science of astronomy, but yield assent to astronomical propositions on the authority of natural science. The facts of divine science should be admitted, although the evidence as to these facts is not supported by evil, by matter, or by material sense, because the evidence that God and man coexist is fully sustained by spiritual sense. Man is, and forever has been, God's reflection. God is infinite, therefore ever-present, and there is no other power nor presence. Hence, the spirituality of the universe is the only fact of creation. Let God be true, and every material man a liar. In a world of sin and sensuality hastening to a greater development of power, it is wise earnestly to consider whether it is the human mind or the divine mind which is influencing one. What the prophets of Jehovah did, the worshippers of Baal failed to do. Yet artifice and delusion claimed that they could equal the power of wisdom. Science only can explain the incredible good and evil elements now coming to the surface. Mortals must find refuge in truth in order to escape the error of these latter days. Nothing is more antagonistic to Christian Science than a blind belief without understanding, for such a belief hides truth and builds on error. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Exodus 23. The first commandment is my favorite text. It demonstrates Christian Science. It inculcates the triunity of God, spirit, mind. It signifies that man shall have no other spirit or mind but God, eternal good, and that all men shall have one mind. The divine principle of the first commandment bases the science of being by which man demonstrates health, holiness, and life eternal. One infinite God, good, unifies men and nations, constitutes the brotherhood of man, ends wars, fulfills the scripture, love thy neighbor as thyself, annihilates pagan and Christian idolatry. Whatever is wrong in social, civil, criminal, political, and religious code, equalizes the sexes, annuls the curse on man, and leaves nothing that can sin, suffer, be punished, or destroyed.